Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insight into the commandments of God and the hearts of men helped people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
My friends, you know, I am so happy that the Lord has given me strength and kept my mind fairly clear. I think most of us, as we grow older, don't remember details as well. I never was very good at remembering details. Never was very good at remembering names. But, you know, as you grow older, if you build your life on fundamental principles, you can usually see those principles perfectly clear. I remember one time I was talking to a man who was all run down physically, tired and old and sick. And we were discussing certain things. He didn't seem to have any special interest in them. But as soon as I mentioned something about which he had strong conviction, his eyes lighted up and he straightened up and he began to talk with a vigor that surprised me. He's a very old man. And I find sometimes that as we grow older, especially nowadays, people say, well, you know, that's all right. He's had his day. Well, truth hasn't had its day. Remember that now. Truth from the lips of youth or truth from the lips of old age is still truth. Paul said that he was glad to have a man say the right thing, even though he was motivated wrong. Why? Paul was interested in truth, see? If an old man comes along and gives you the truth, well, you better be careful, right? You better be careful. If a young man comes along and gives you the truth, he may not have experience. He may not be able to say, I've tested this thing out over many years. But if it's the truth, well, you better heed the truth. Sometimes a fellow comes along, I remember back in the old days when evangelism was so popular. You don't have any of those great campaigns, great spiritual awakenings that turn cities upside down. But that was old days. Well, a fellow come along and maybe a man's in the whiskey business. Well, after those campaigns, the town would turn around and go dry. Well, this whiskey boss in town couldn't answer the preacher, the evangelist. He couldn't say it was right to sell liquor. It was not right to make folks drunkards. He couldn't say that. But he turned around and say, they're going to get liquor anyhow, see. And they turned around and say, well, the evangelist is preaching for money, see. He couldn't answer what the preacher said. He couldn't answer it was wrong to sell liquor. Now, it's wrong to sell whiskey. There's no question about that. It's not right to sell whiskey. It's one thing to sell it. It's another thing to defend selling it. That's the trouble today. You can't say it's right to sell a man something that makes him go home and kill his wife. You can't say it's right to sell a bunch of young folks some whiskey, go to a party and get drunk, go home and wreck the car. It's a question of principle, see. Now, I can hear a man say, well, they're going to get it anyhow, and so forth and so on. And sort of get around it, you know, and give them an excuse like that. But that wouldn't make it right. Now, the trouble with us today is that we're waiting principle. Now, Paul didn't say he was glad to have an honest man preach a falsehood. Paul didn't say, I'm glad to have an honest man come along and preach something as false, even though the man might be sincere. The Bible teaches that a man can believe a lie and be damned, see? Now, Paul didn't say that he wanted a man to preach a lie, let folks believe a lie, and then let them be damned. He didn't say that. But Paul said that he was glad to have the right thing preached, see? Even though the motive of the man is wrong, see? If the motive was wrong. Somebody said, a man's preaching for money. Well, condemn the man, see? But don't commend what he preaches if he preaches the truth, see? It's not right for a man to preach for money. By the way, it isn't right for you to run your business just for money either. Well, if you're a Christian, it's not right for you to say, I got a right to run my store like I please. No, not if you're a Christian, see? Sometimes a man in a legitimate business, just like preaching's legitimate business. But it's not right to run a store with the wrong motive. The Bible makes that plain. The plowing of the wicked is sin. Man can run a store. If he's a wicked man, and his legitimate business, according to the Bible, becomes sin. Now, God has a standard for all people, And when we get away from that standard, we are getting away from what's right. Now, what is that standard? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. Now, that's the standard. How you're motivated depends on it. But now Paul comes along and said he's glad to have man say the right thing, even though he's motivated wrong. Now, Paul was interested in the gospel, see? And he said, if anybody brings anything else except the gospel I preach, you may be anathema. He asked God to curse the fellow for perverting the proposition, see? All right. You know, most people are perverts in the religious sense. Most of them. We turn around, Paul says, shall I do wrong that grace may abound? Why, grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. But shall I use a great truth that grace abounds and justify wrongdoing? Paul said, God forbid, God forbid. Now, wait a minute. Shall I vote for a man because I might get a political job? Or he might do some favors for me? Is that right? No, not if you're a good citizen. If you're a good citizen, you think of the thing as a whole. Now, is that the best man for the job? Is there any danger that religious liberty may be disturbed? Will it be perfectly safe, or will it be a step in the wrong direction? Or will the president, if he's elected, be having alliances that might interfere? Not just with me. Not just with me. I'm not disturbed about my freedom of worship. But when you begin to think of something that lies on in the future, 25 years from now, 30 years from now, when your grandchildren will come along, and then maybe a great-grandchildren, that's a consideration. Now, Paul said that the man came along and told the truth about something, that he was glad to have the truth preached. He'd rather have a man come along and preach the gospel for money. He wouldn't justify the man doing it. But he justified the gospel he preached. And he said, I'd rather have a paid man preach the gospel than not to have the gospel preached. Why? His loyalty was to the gospel. Now then, that was truth. And if you had to pay a man to propagate truth, and he'd propagate it. But you know, today in this country, we're paying a lot of men not to propagate, calling ourselves Christians. We're so inconsistent. Man says to me, everywhere I go, you know, I'm Orthodox. I wish I had a pastor that believed the Bible like my old mother did. He goes next Sunday and gives him some money, you see. You know, we are all scrambled in this day and time. Everything's scrambled. Did you know it's always been very hard to be a consistent person? To be consistent? And nobody seems to justify it except in the field of religion. Somebody said, well, he isn't consistent. He's preaching for money. Well, what's he preaching? What's he preaching? Well, you wouldn't say that you wouldn't want his lawyers in this country because some lawyers make money sometimes, would you? Now, here are doctors in this country. Why are doctors in the business? They're in the business for money, are they? Not usually. Not usually. I think sometimes they like to make money, and I think most of you folks listening to me do, too. And I think sometimes fees might be a little high. I'd rather have a good doctor, a real good doctor, that was practicing for money than I would have a man that wasn't much of a doctor that didn't care a thing about money, hadn't you, and I'm sick. Well, now, it's the same principle. Now, you might say a man shouldn't preach for money. A man shouldn't do this for money, and his fees are too high, and all that kind of situation. But if you're interested in health, the thing that you're concerned about as a doctor is the take care of you when you're sick. Man knows something about business. And you hope he won't charge you too much, and you hope you won't have to mortgage your home. But you're interested in the doctor, see? You're a sick man. You need a doctor. Now, this man might not be a Christian man. He might not be as good a man as you'd like. He may not even pray for you. Now, I'd like to have a doctor pray for me. I'd like to have a Christian doctor. Everything else being equal, I'd rather have a good doctor who's a Christian than have a good doctor who isn't a Christian. Why? Well, I sort of think Christianity helps a fellow, don't you? I think it helps a lawyer. I think it helps a doctor. I think it helps a farmer. I think so. But Paul said if a man isn't a Christian and come along and preach the gospel, I'm interested in the truth, see? I'm interested in the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel doesn't depend upon the man that preaches it. The man that preaches it may have no power whatsoever. He may not be a good man. But there's inherent power in a message. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation of anyone who believes it. Now, I've said it many a time in using this illustration that a fellow might go down the street and hand him a tract, you see. And he might be an old infidel or atheist or something like that and curses the preacher for giving him a tract. He might throw it down in the mud, see. And the fellow comes along after a while and sees that in the mud and gets it up and gets it out and wonders what it is and takes it home, puts it on the shelf and dries it. And then he looks at it and it's a gospel tract. This gospel tells him how to be saved, what the Bible says about it. All right, what does it say? It says that believe on Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And it explains this, what it means. And the fellow says, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm going to try that. He gets converted. He might be a preacher. He might be a missionary. Let me tell you something. The worst sin is perverting truth. They turn the truth of God into a lie. That's the worst sin in the world. The sin of religious perversity is the worst sin a man ever committed. To take the truth and turn it into a lie. Truth is irresistible. You may say no to it, but you can't help sort of say that might be so. I'm told some fellow right now that you're a sinner and you've never been converted. The Bible says you must be born again to get to heaven, to stay out of hell. Well, you know when you hear that famous proposition, that must be born again. You say, well, that might be so. I've never been born again. And the man who's a sinner might quote a verse of Scripture and lead somebody to Christ. His motive might be wrong. We read in the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, though I give my body to be burned, though I do 1,000 other things if I'm not right, if I don't have a love of God in my heart, it won't profit me anything. He didn't say it wouldn't help anybody else. Now, the trouble today was, we are not emphasizing the Word of God like we ought. We're not emphasizing the Word of God. We emphasize the faults of man. And that's all right. We should restore a man with faults. We're emphasizing the shortcomings of man and the weaknesses of man. And we're lying about man. We need to get back here with a new emphasis on truth. Emphasis on the Word of God. God help us to get back. Our Father lead us and guide us and direct us along the line of our purpose. And keep us faithful in all things, for Jesus said, amen.
You've just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors of the faith. If you're interested in an educational institution that stands without apology for the old-time religion and the absolute authority of the Bible, which emphasizes the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and has high academic standards, write to the Director of Admissions, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Listen again next week for The Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.